Hi there, this is the Romance Program. I'm volunteer Jeannie Yost for Sun Sounds. I've got one story coming up this hour. It's from True Love Magazine called Young Bachelors Make My Mom Get Freaky. Here's a story. I guess I'm what you'd call a late bloomer, have been all my life. I started to walk late, was potty trained late, or so I'm told, and they thought I'd never get my teeth in. It's been the story of my life. Just when they give up on me, I come through. But my timing has caused my mother a great deal of frustration. She's always just wanted me to get on schedule with the rest of the world. So she spent a lot of time being frustrated. And nothing frustrated her more than the fact that at age 26, I still wasn't married. So when my brother, Noel, got engaged, it was a really big deal. The fact that Noel was 2 years younger than me made it even worse. But I just kept a stiff upper lip. Oh, now I'll have grandchildren, my dreams finally coming true. My mother was in seventh heaven when Noel and Paige showed up at the house the night of their big announcement, Paige flashing a diamond so big that I was surprised she didn't need a sling for her arm. How come my mother's dream meant I had to endure a nightmare? The months of planning the wedding were a soap opera, and then came the big day. The look on my mother's face throughout the wedding and reception made me gag. We hadn't been at the reception hall more than 10 minutes, and already she was planning his family with her brothers and sisters around her, all of who already had grandchildren. By the way, my mother was the center of attention. Now I'll be the one boring all of you with pictures of my grandchildren, she promised my aunts and uncles. Mom preened, arranging the roses in the corsage on her new aqua silk dress. Well, Peggy, if that's what Noel and his bride want, my Uncle Edward joked, I guess you'd better check with them before you order diaper service. That would be a first, I thought. Usually my mother bulldozed her way into every situation. She'd never exactly been known for her tact. Whatever was at the top of her list got the most attention, and grandchildren had been right up there for some time now. You're a fine one to talk, she told Uncle Edward. Your daughter Peggy has twins. Imagine. Two babies, and just a few short months ago. Her eyes swept the circle while the others agreed that this was indeed wonderful. And there I stood. My stomach was flat. My ring finger was bare. The message was pretty clear. It only means two more to buy for at Christmas time, Uncle Edward said, looping his arm around my shoulder and giving me a hug. Uncle Edward was cool. He was one of my favorite uncles, mainly because he usually took my side. Well, if some people had only cooperated, I might have had grandchildren by now. My mother threw me a knowing look that made me feel about 2 inches tall. Jill, I think I should buy you a drink, Uncle Edward said, taking my elbow and steering me toward the bar. Did I tell you, how pretty you look in that dress? I laughed and held out the green taffeta skirt that rustled when I walked. I think Paige must have been thinking of Christmas trees when she picked them out. All I needed was a little tinsel. Right, I can always cut the stuff off and wear it as a cocktail dress. Fact was, I already had 5 bridal attendant dresses in my closet already. A couple more and I'd be able to open my own shop. Don't think too harshly of your mother, Jill, Uncle Edward said, handing me a glass of punch. She means well. I took a deep gulp and fanned my red face. Well, I really don't need it, Uncle Edward. I don't. But at least before Noel and I were both under the same gun, the pressure was on both of us to get married and produce grandchildren, I laughed. Then he had to go and get married. Life just isn't fair. Uncle Edward nodded with understanding, pulling at his tight collar. Your time will come, Jill. But I continued to plead my case, and he's 2 years younger than I am. To make matters worse, where is it written that younger brothers can get married first? Sure, I was joking, but there was a place deep inside of me where I was very, very serious. There's a time for everything, Uncle Edward said. You'll find the man of your dreams when the time is right. Jill, nothing but the best for you. You'll see. Anyway, how's your school? Evidently, he had run out of reassurances. School is fine. I decided to go into accounting. You're looking at the girl who'll be able to do your taxes in a couple of years. I flashed him a grin. Hey, how about that? And I won't go to jail. My uncle arched his eyebrows at me, and I swatted his arm playfully. It was a joke in my family that I wasn't too handy with numbers. My checkbook has never balanced, ever. I figure that's what overdraft protection is for. There's a reason for everything. I laughed at his expression. I know, pretty impressive, huh? Well, I haven't got my degree yet. And at the rate I was going, that day might never come. I was taking 12 credits a semester and waitressing at night. It would have been a lot easier if I didn't have to have my own apartment, but living with my mother, well, that just wasn't an option for me. I needed my space. Oh, you'll get it all right, Uncle Edward smiled warmly. You've got a good head on your shoulders, Jill. Then he lowered his voice. And your mom, well, you know, she only wants the best for you. Yeah, I know. She means well, I said, and knowing it was true, but still wishing things were different. Hasn't been easy, Uncle Edward nodded. My mother had been a single parent for a long time. Dad died when I was only 4. I hardly remembered him. To me, he was just the man with the scratchy beard and the booming voice who one day just suddenly wasn't there anymore. A traffic accident had taken him away from our family when he went out one Sunday morning to get the paper and a few cheese Danish. We were left with no insurance money and no one to help keep Mom happy. So my mother had worked really hard, standing on her feet all day at Martin's department store, where she proceeded to charge more than she earned. Truth was, most of the stuff she brought home with her was for Noel and me. Mom always made sure that I had the latest clothes. Noel, too, although he didn't care much. Well, in my case, it hadn't exactly worked. at least in my mother's eyes, that is. Terrific clothes had not brought me a husband, and so I guess for her, I hadn't paid off in the long run. My uncle wandered away, and I was left sipping my punch and wondering when they were going to serve the chicken cordon bleu. It was going to be a long night, I could see. The band was just setting up. Three of Noel's friends from high school. I slouched lower in my chair. Noel and Paige looked so happy. Later, when I sat at the head table with the rest of the wedding party, I couldn't help but look over at the two of them. They could have been on another planet, and maybe they were. Noel would nuzzle Paige, and then she'd laugh and blush. They were the perfect couple. Well, I didn't... didn't everyone want to be a part of a perfect couple? It wasn't that I didn't want to get married. I just hadn't met the right guy. And my mother kept trying to fix me up with all the wrong ones. It didn't matter how fat, how freckled, or how old, or how young they were. If they were single, they were fair game. And my mother would finagle some way to introduce them to me. It was an unending parade of embarrassments. After the dinner was served and everyone had toasted the happy bride and groom, the band warmed up and couples moved out onto the dance floor. I figured my uncles would be showing up any minute to claim me and make sure that Jill danced. The very thought made me want to spend the night in the ladies' room. Instead, I decided to visit with the relatives. I didn't get to see very much. "Oh, Jill," one of my cousins cried out as I sat down next to her. "You'll be next. Just you wait and see. You'll be next." The smile froze on my face. Elizabeth had had a little too much to drink, and I tried to steer the conversation in another direction. I was almost relieved when I saw my mother waving at me from across the dance floor. "Be right back," I told Elizabeth. But my steps slowed as I neared my mother. Next to her stood a tall stranger who looked as if he needed an appointment with a dermatologist real bad. His Adam's apple bobbed in his throat as he watched me approach. Ichabod Crane, I thought to myself. Terrific, the guy's a perfect double for Ichabod Crane. "Honey, I want you to meet somebody," my mother said when I reached them. "This is Jeff Peabody, Paige's cousin from Franklin Junction. He was just telling me that he's thinking of moving here to the city. Isn't that exciting? I'll just bet you could help show him the town." My mother beamed at the two of us as if she'd just accomplished something major. Oh, I knew what was dancing through her head. She was already renting the reception ball. Well, I hated to burst her balloon. Jeff hadn't said a word throughout my mom's hurried explanation. His eyes just seemed to get better or bigger in his head, and his Adam's apple bobbed faster as she spoke, and he stared at me. I took a deep breath. I wasn't going to make a scene, especially not on Noel's big day. "I see. Well, Jeff, why don't we just wait until you actually move here?" I suggested, trying not to sound angry. "After all, you might change your mind, decide to stay in Franklin Junction, and go to a few more barn raisings, that kind of thing. I could see by the look on my mother's face that I'd gone too far. She licked her lips, darted a nervous glance at Jeff, and tried again. Oh, Jill, you're always making such jokes. Jeff's here for the whole weekend, dear, she said, in emphasizing each word. You might want to take advantage of this opportunity. She raised her eyebrows at me, and I got the drift. Didn't exactly need a skywriter for that one. I glared back at her. To show him around, I mean, she clarified hastily. But we both knew exactly what she was talking about. I wanted to die right there on the edge of the dance floor, but it would have really embarrassed my brother to have his sister stoke out at his wedding. Somehow I made some excuse and crawled away to find someone, anyone else to talk to, preferably someone who wouldn't tell me that my turn would come. But the night didn't get any better. When my mother discovered that I wasn't going to come near her again, she began steering men my way. And anyone without a wedding ring would do. Noel's friends, of course, if they weren't married or seriously involved with someone, were sent right over with varying explanations. They wanted to ask me about school. They wanted to ask me about the menu at Indigo's, the restaurant where I waitressed at night. My, I never knew my life was so fascinating. The ladies' room began to look better and better every single minute. Somehow, I made it through the reception, but I ended up drinking way too much. Uncle Edward drove me home, and I woke up the next day with a pumpkin for a head. At least, it sure felt that way. I was getting ready to go to work at Indigo's the following week when I got a call from my mother. Can you come and pick me up when I'm finished with work tomorrow night? I know you usually work until 10, but maybe you could get off a little early. My car is in the shop overnight, she explained. I guess so. Actually, I don't work tomorrow night. I have plans, but I can go out a little later. Oh, you have plans? A note of hope perked up her voice. Suddenly, she was a bloodhound picking up the scent. No big deal, I said firmly. Audrey and I are going out, that's all. I could hear my mother sigh. Oh, that's nice, dear. Well, I'll see you tomorrow, then. I really meant to have my hair and makeup done before I picked up my mother, but one thing led to another. I just didn't have time. Anyway, since Audrey and I weren't going out until later that night, I figured it was no big deal. But I could tell from the big look on my mother's face when she saw my wild hair and pale face that she wasn't pleased, not at all. Her smile looked a little strained. Jill, sweetheart, you didn't have to hurry to get here. I would have waited until you had time to finish fixing yourself up. My blood boiled. Then I saw him, or sort of saw him, another one of my mother's prisoners held hostage, lurking in the shadows behind her. I slid lower in my driver's seat. My mother turned slightly and waved her hand to the guy behind her. Honey, I want you to meet someone. Andy's working here part-time for the summer. He's in the management training program. Hi, Andy. I studied my steering wheel intently. Nice to meet you, Jill. Was he smiling or laughing? His voice sure sounded like it, but I didn't want to look. My mother wouldn't stop fluttering. I was telling Andy that since you aren't exactly involved with anyone, you two might want to get to know each other. You know, since you're in school and all, I'll just bet you two would have a lot to talk about. Her voice was too bright, too cheery, and it kind of cranked down with each word as she realized that the frown on my face was not going away. We have to go, Mother. A lot of each word. I bit off each word evenly. I have plans for the evening, as I told you. Well, my mother is not totally dense. She got the hint, and with a wave and a mumbled, "Well, see you tomorrow, Andy," we drove away. "How could you do that?" I demanded as we waited in the line of traffic for the light to change. "Mom, please don't make finding a man for Jill become your life's work." "But he's such a nice boy." "Dear, I thought you'd like him, and what harm could there possibly be in the two of you spending a little time together? I'm just trying to help, darling." At least she finished with the truth. "Well, you're not," I sputtered. I wanted to tell her that she was making things worse, but I didn't want her to know that it bothered me being single. Because, oh yes, in spite of all the articles I read on how to eat out alone and feel like a modern woman, I didn't enjoy it, not one bit. I mean, what 26-year-old girl wants to rent one more movie for Saturday night and toss a package of popcorn into the microwave instead of snuggling in the arms of a man who adores her? No comment. But I'd dye my hair green before I'd ever admit that to my mother or the rest of my family. As it was, Audrey was the only friend I had left who wasn't married and not dating anyone seriously. And even Audrey was in jeopardy. Some guy named Sean was making serious moves on her. And where would that leave me? I might have to find new friends if this keeps up, I thought to myself as I drove. After dropping my mother off, I went home and started to get ready for my night out with Audrey, but I was still fuming. Why do mothers always have to want the best for their children? I wondered as I put my hair up in hot rollers. And why does my mother always have to put that thought into action? Relentlessly, without fail. Why couldn't she just take up crocheting? I could use a new afghan or two, so maybe I'd buy her some yarn and needles for her next birthday. My scheming continued as I did my eyes and spritzed on some perfume. Well, Audrey and I really howled that night. We went hog wild. That's what we call it, one of our hog wild nights. We'd go from one club to the next, and we didn't stay at any one place more than 45 minutes. That was always the agreement when we started. We'd dance, have a drink, and then move on. Toward the end of the night, we'd switch to soda or water with lemon because we were still driving, but we'd keep right on partying. It was fun. I guess the best part of it was that we weren't seriously looking. The dancing was great. The flirting with no expectations was great. But that night, listening to Audrey talk about Sean got me concerned. This was sounding serious, and she had this dreamy look on her face whenever she talked about him. Twice, she said she was going to the bathroom, but I saw the quarters in her hand. She was calling him. In the weeks that followed, I kind of forgot about Mom. I was going back to school at that point. Summer was ending, and I had to buckle down again. At that point, I was hoping that I'd really like my accounting class because I was starting to make a career out of going to school, and I figured it was time to stop waitressing and do something with my life. I realized I needed more of a future to look forward to. Gee, I was beginning to sound like my mother. Pretty scary, huh? Noel and Paige had settled down in an apartment complex kind of near me, so I saw them once in a while. We'd rent a movie and order a pizza, that kind of stuff. But one night when I stopped in, this red-headed guy answered the door. "Hi," he said, opening the door to me. His T-shirt was untucked, and it wasn't doing a great job of hiding his stomach. A larger size would have helped. "Noel's in the kitchen, and Paige is in the bathroom. You must be Jill." "Right," I said, immediately on guard. "And you are?" "Frank." He thrust out a hand, which I reluctantly shook. When I pulled my hand away, I could swear it smelled like tomato sauce. An open pizza box was on the coffee table, and a couple of slices were missing. I wiped my hand on my jeans. "Hey, Jill, you're here. Have you met Jet? Have you met Frank?" Noel came out of the kitchen. His smile was suspiciously broad. My eyes shot daggers at my brother. "Yes, yes, Noel, I did meet Frank." Noel shifted from one foot to the other, his eyes aimed somewhere over my right shoulder. "Well, Frank lives upstairs, and Paige and I thought, you know, it might be fun to have him come down, see the flick, that kind of thing, you know." "Oh, yeah, right. Great. Terrific. Why don't you pop the movie in?" I plopped down in a corner on the sofa and folded my arms over my chest, glad that I was wearing an old shirt and tights that had a hole in the knee. I didn't want this... I didn't want this clad to think that I was desperate and had gotten gussied up for him. By that time, Paige had joined us. Now women are a lot more sensitive than men are, no doubt about it. Paige took one look at me and she just knew I was about to go ballistic. "Why don't you start the movie, Noel? Does everyone have a beer?" she asked, shuffling around the room as if movement would break the tension. Later, I cornered my brother in the kitchen. "Okay, just what do you think you're doing?" I hissed at him. Noel's hands shot up as if I were holding a gun on him. "Hey, he's a nice guy. I just thought, you know, that you might like to meet him." My brother's face was about as red as his baseball shirt. "And how many apartments are there in this building?" I asked, sarcasm dripping from every word. "Are we going to have to work our way through every bachelor in this building, from the first floor to the fourth? I'll bet there are 40 units. That's a lot of pizza, Noel, a lot of movies. Does Blockbuster have enough?" I heard the door close in the next room and figured that was Noel's would-be brother-in-law beating a hasty retreat. Paige appeared in the doorway, her eyes thoughtful. "You know, Noel's just trying to help, Jill." "Help? Help what?" I sputtered. "Not me. You mean help Mom, don't you? Didn't Mom put you two up to this?" Well, the silence in that kitchen gave me my answer. The only sound was the steady ticking of the cuckoo clock. that Uncle Edward had given them for their wedding present. "I'll see you guys later," I said, grabbing my jacket and leaving the apartment. Well, Paige called me later that week, and I just couldn't stay mad at her. "You see, we just hate to say no to your mother," she explained. "She's just so, well, intense about this." "Oh, she's intense, all right," I agreed. But I was equally stubborn, because you see, the more my mother got into this, the more resistant I became. Did these people think that I wanted to come home to my microwave dinner every night after school? Au contraire. Sure, I wanted to be with someone, but he had to be the right someone. "How are your classes?" my mother asked me after I'd been in school for a week. "Fine, I think it's going to be a good semester. The classes were brutal, but I didn't want to tell her that I might actually be rethinking my major yet again." She picked up a magazine from her coffee table and began to leaf through it. "I'll bet there are a lot of men in those math classes." I bristled. "Mom, is that a statement or a question?" She sighed and threw the magazine down. I left shortly after that. Would she ever give up? No, my mother was desperate to help me find Prince Charming, but I never dreamed she'd start bringing him to my door. The first note that came was kind of funny. I mean, there was this letter written on one of those yellow legal pads written to Box 455. The writer told me that he loved movies, eating out, and listening to jazz. He even included his phone number and signed it Alex. Then his photo slipped out of the envelope. A guy with a blue baseball cap on his head, smiling, one arm wrapped around a huge boxer dog, his drippy tongue hanging out. I wondered if Alex was the guy or the dog. So I dropped the envelope into the garbage and didn't think much about it until I got another 3 in the mail a couple of days later. "What is this?" I wondered aloud as I slid open the envelopes and read 3 other lists of likes and dislikes. "Likes sports, likes theater, doesn't like radicals, doesn't like pets." Well, too bad, I thought, giving Jonesy, my cat, a reassuring caress. I tossed the 3 notes into the trash. "Looks like it's just the 2 of us, Jonesy," I whispered as I turned out the light that night. Well, Sean was turning into a relationship for Audrey. Very scary word. The way I figured it, her relationship meant that on Saturday nights now, I'd be sitting at home in my sweats and pink fuzzy slippers, watching reruns instead of dancing to salsa at the local night spots. Pretty bleak. Yes, I was definitely going to have to make some new friends. Meanwhile, the answers to my personal ad, the ad I'd never placed in the paper, kept right on coming. I got tired of reading them. The humor wore off. I just tossed them into a bag. "Mother, you can take the ad out of the paper now," I told her that Saturday. I'd stopped over at her house after I'd finished my grocery shopping. In my hand was a plastic bag, and I dumped the contents out onto her soda. The envelopes spilled out. "I especially like the guy who scented his letters with cologne." I picked up an envelope and sniffed. My mother drew back. She opened her mouth and closed it again when nothing came out. Then she took a deep breath and tried again. "Honey, I'm just trying to, well, I thought maybe it would maybe just help." "I know that, Mother, But it isn't working. Can't you see that? I don't want to be advertised like some secondhand car or used sofa that you want to get rid of. Please. My mother cocked her head to one side, gathered her thoughts, and then started in again. The woman didn't give up easily, but my friend Carol has a daughter who put an ad in, and she's engaged. Yep, you probably could meet Tom Cruise through the personals. I'm sure it happens every day. Seriously, though, Mom, I'm sure she met someone really nice, I said, weakening just a little at the look on her face. But that's just not for me, don't you see? All right. My mother slowly scooped up the envelopes and slid them back into the bag as if she wanted to hide the evidence. Fine, dear, I guess you're right. And I was right. I knew it. I didn't want anyone to fix me up. I didn't want to advertise. I guess I just wanted Mr. Wonderful to drop from the sky. Well, that didn't seem like it was going to happen anytime soon. So I kept going to school and waitressing at night. On weekends, I rented my movies, munched my popcorn, and went to bed early. Jonesy curled up contentedly at my side. I've always liked waitressing because I get to be around food. Not that I eat that much, but I love the smell of it, the look of it. I love cooking it, too. Buying the ingredients, squeezing the tomatoes, green peppers, and other fresh vegetables, then chopping everything up and sautéing it in olive oil. Great stuff. I just think it's one of life's many great blessings. So when things were slow, I'd hide out in the kitchen at Indigo's and watch Tony whip up some pasta or pesto or create one of his famous asparagus salads. I tried to write things down so that I could try the recipes out at home. I thought women don't like to cook. Don't you all microwave your meals? Tony would tease me. I do my share of microwaving, I'd admit, but nothing beats a fresh salad or some of the other great things you come up with. One of the benefits of working at Indigo's was that you got one meal free during every shift. Honestly, I thought it was as valuable as the pension plan, but waitressing late at night when people didn't leave by 9 or 10 really got to me. I often had trouble staying awake. One evening, either I was more tired than usual or I just wasn't up to speed in my accounting class. At least that's what I decided when I sat in the back row and absolutely nothing Mrs. Moyer said was making sense to me. At the end of the hour, I dragged myself out of that class, mentally going through my options. If accounting was out and I'd already eliminated communications, library science, and media, then what else was there for me? Caffeine. I needed some caffeine before my next class. Minutes later, I shoved some quarters into the soda machine in the student union and carried the cold can over to the nearest table. Two or three students from my class sat down at the table next to me, and I couldn't help but overhear them moan over the class. It was downright encouraging. Maybe we should form a study group, one of the guys suggested. Good idea. Immediately, I had to ask if I could join them. I mean, I couldn't afford to miss out on this opportunity. I certainly didn't want to waste any more time or money on my failing academic career. So five of us started to meet in the student union at 6 o'clock on the nights we had class. The class started at 7, so it worked out pretty well. Well, the study group turned out to be a great idea. A couple of the group really knew their stuff, and they helped the rest of us. When Andy or Greta explain things, it suddenly became clear. Whew, what a relief. I might not have to change majors after all. I even got a B on our next exam. Boy, I was flying pretty high. Time to celebrate, Andy said the night Mrs. Moyer handed back our blue books. All five of us had passed, and it was definitely time for a celebration. So we all met at one of the local watering holes. Relief loosened our tongues. We talked and laughed, just a group of new friends having a good time. When Andy asked me to dance, I was surprised. Studying had put men way to the back of my mind. But Andy was tall and kind of good-looking. Best of all, he had this terrific laugh, more of a chuckle gone wild. Guess we all might pass the class after all, he said as he moved around the dance floor. Yep, looks like it, I said, breathing in his nice cologne and wondering why I hadn't noticed it before. Things are definitely looking up. Double meaning? Maybe. How many credits do you have to go for your degree? He asked. Well, I told him, but I didn't mention that I'd started out to get the degree at least four times. Two more years and you should have it, he said. That's pretty exciting. If you stay in accounting, you'll find a job right away. I hated to tell him that I wasn't known for my staying power when it came to school. What about you? I asked him. Well, I'm in another program, actually, and this class is just required for the degree. I'll be finished at the end of the year. Must be a great feeling. By that time, I'd already decided that Andy had the broadest shoulders I'd ever seen. He felt solid. He felt good. I had to tell myself not to get so excited. Still, when he asked me if I wanted to go out for dinner the following Saturday night, of course I said yes. Since I was supposed to work that night, I knew I'd have to switch with someone, and that wasn't always easy on Saturdays, but I was determined to work it out. Boy, was I ever glad I did. Andy took me to a great spot, really earned big points. The Prima Vista was one of my favorite restaurants. The food was out of this world, and those candlelit tables, well, it was positively romantic. It had been a while since I'd last been in a romantic situation, but I thought I still recognized it. And this, yes, it was romantic. Later, we went dancing. You're a spunky girl, you know that, Jill? Andy said. That's so? What makes you say that? He hesitated. Nothing really. It just seems like you like to make your own way in the world. I guess I do. I fought my mother tooth and nail about so much. If she said the moon was made of cheese, then I insisted it was ice cream. At the end of the night, when he kissed me at my door, Andy was warm and gentle, and I felt my knees buckle under me. When his fingers softly trailed along my chin, I'll call you, he whispered, and he did. And so school took on a whole new meaning to me. Suddenly it meant that I couldn't run in anymore without any makeup on, but I was willing to sacrifice because I really liked this guy. Oh, I knew he could have dated any girl in the class, probably, but he kept hanging around me. Sometimes we'd go out for a few beers after class. It was fun. It was casual. I was falling in like. Then one night, Andy was kind of quiet. We'd sat through dinner. The aroma of garlic hung on the air. The bread was fresh. I loved it. But Andy was being so quiet, and he barely touched his food. Finally, I asked him if anything was wrong. No, not really, he said, reaching out across the table and taking my hand. It's just that Well, the company party's coming up, and, well, I'd like you to go with me, Jill. Sounds great, I said warmly. I'd love to go to your company party. And was this worth getting into a funk over? I wondered. Does he actually think I wouldn't go? I think it's pretty dressy as far as the guest dress code, actually. They have it at pieces of eight on the lake. Jill, it's just that I'm in this training program. It's not really my company yet. I mean, they might make me an offer when the training period ends. Oh, yeah? He raked his hands through his hair and took a deep breath. Jill, I worked with your mother last summer at Martin's as part of their training program. My major is in merchandising. He looked at me with this sheepish look on his face. In fact, we kind of met last summer. That is, your mother really wanted us to meet, and you, well, I guess you had other ideas. Anyway, you see, the party, well, it's Martin's company party. I froze. I mean, I just sat there. This was the guy she'd brought over to my car, the guy whose face I'd never seen. So you've been lying to me, I said at last, feeling like a balloon that's just been popped and the pieces of plastic are flying all over the place. No, not at all. My feelings for you are real, Jill. I don't care who introduced us or how we met. He stopped suddenly, and I could see that he was searching for the words to make this right. But I didn't know if it could ever be right again. Once again, my mother had stepped in to run my life. At least that's how it seemed to me. All the time I'd actually believed that it was me that Andy was interested in. All the time I thought that we were really hitting it off. But it turned out that Andy was just feeling sorry for me. All along he was doing this. Doing everything for my mother. I felt like some poor little spinster whose family had to find a husband for her. So my mother sent you after me? I said, she did, didn't she? My chin went up. I would not cry. I just would not cry. Suddenly I got this bitter taste in my mouth. I thought I'd done this all myself, that Andy had really been interested in me. But my mother had had a hand in it all along. Well, I don't want to take up any more of your time, I said. You don't have to feel sorry for me anymore, Andy. I made a beeline for the door. Jill, wait! I could hear Andy fumbling behind me, calling for the waiter to bring the check. In the days that followed, I didn't answer the phone, even though Andy called several times and left messages. They just made me grit my teeth. Hearing his voice was painful. By that point, my self-esteem was at about a minus 10. It turned out I'd just been kidding myself. When my mother called, it was even harder to be polite to her. She was rattling on about a movie she'd seen. Look, Mom, I'm not feeling great. Can we talk some other time? Andy told me all about your plans, and I'm opting out of them, okay? Well, he hadn't really told me about any plans per se, but I thought I'd get her to confess. She didn't, so I hung up. Yes, there I was, enclosed in my own bitter little world. Oh, I was really having a pity party all by myself. I could even see myself in my old age, my infirmity, living in this tiny rundown apartment building where the hallways smelled. Nolan Page would stop by every once in a rare while with their children. The picture was so bleak and so achingly real to me. That was the world I was in one night at Indigo's when something happened to destroy that picture. Thank goodness. We'd been slammed that evening, and I was so busy running between my tables and the kitchen that I hadn't had time to notice any faces. I just saw plates. So I was surprised when I heard someone say, "Hi, Jill, are you going to talk to me?" My hands snapped up when I heard Andy's voice, "Because if you don't, I'm going to stand up in the middle of this restaurant and tell all the folks just how much I love you." My jaw had fallen open. You do?" I squeaked. "Yes, I do." Andy's eyebrows drew together. He was really serious. "Even though you seem to think that I concocted some terrible plot with your mother to win your heart, which is really far out, by the way, I still love you, Jill." "You do." It seemed like I'd had only one line in this drama. "Yes, and after you finish tonight, we're going back to your place, and I'm going to show you just how much I love you, in spite of the fact that you've really given me a hard time." He paused for breath. By this time, people at nearby tables had put down their forks. It was pretty good stuff. "You are." My lines weren't getting any better. "Yes, and then we'll talk about why you have this thing against your mother, which I think is pretty ridiculous. She seems to love you very much, Jill, but she didn't have anything to do with us." "She didn't." Two words were really all I could handle by that point, I guess. "No, I love you because you're stubborn and cute and pig-headed and bright and narrow-minded and sexy and..." I held up one hand. "Enough, I get the picture." I think everybody got the picture. By that time, Tony had come out from the kitchen and some of the waiters had put down their trays to watch and listen. We had a captive audience. "And since you cook so well and love food so much, I think you should forget about being an accountant and go to cooking school." End of speech. "Really?" But I don't know if Andy even heard me. The applause from the room kind of drowned him out. Tony was slapping him on the back, and the waiters were telling me that this was a great idea. And then people were asking if they could get some service, or was I going home right away to see just how much Andy loved me. Chaotic. It was just chaotic. And that was only the beginning. Planning the wedding was even more hectic. "Well, Andy set me straight, and I guess I needed it. Now that we're engaged, though, I guess I can see how silly it all was. My mother is great. I know now that she does just want the best for me. So maybe I did have a chip on my shoulder, and maybe I did take out my own unhappiness on her from time to time. Now, though, I'm in culinary school and loving every minute of it. Sometimes I guess it just takes someone from outside your world to give you new perspective on your life. For me, Andy is that person. He's opened lots of doors for me, and now I'm walking through them with him, side by side." Okay, that's the end of that story, and that will be the ending of this romance program. As always, thank you so much for listening. This has been Volunteer Jenny Yost for Sun Sounds. Have a great week. Take care. Bye-bye.